Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hi, everybody. It's February the 18th, 2016, and it's time for my private audio call. Tonight, our special guest speaker is the one and only, the original, Ken W. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Hi, Ken. Welcome.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm fine. You know, last week I had a guy on, a gentleman on. He was real good, too, but his name was Ken Dost. And I, somebody sent me an email saying that I should have this guy on. His name is Ken W. And I said, oh, I've had him on before. I'll send him an email and ask him to come back on. So I'm going back and forth with this guy by, with the email, right, talking to him. Oh, great, you're going to be on. And come to find out, it wasn't you.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody actually gave me a call, and I said, you know, you're going to be on Angela's Talk Shoot tonight, and I was like, no, not that I'm aware of. But,
yeah, I got, well, you know, it worked out okay. I mean, it was a good call, but I wish I could see everybody's face, you know, then I can associate the name with the face, but just going with emails ain't doing it for me.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
We need to have you on a little more often, you know, so that you stay fresh in my memory, for crying out loud. I'm getting old, you know.
Right. Ain't we all?
Yeah, I guess so. So anyway, I'm so glad you made it tonight. Everybody was emailing me wondering if you were going to get on, and I'm so glad you got here. And so everybody wants an update. The last time you were on, what was that, a year ago or more?
I can't remember.
Long time ago, seems like.
Yeah, I don't, it probably has been a year or so, but, that, you know, I've always looked at time a little different than others, you know, birthdays, marriages, anniversaries, you know, these things don't mean a whole bunch to me, you know what I mean, personally, you know.
Well, they don't for me either. I am really bad at remembering those things, and I just don't.
Right.
Just don't put that much importance on them for some reason. It just doesn't mean that much to me, so I let it slip my mind. I'm bad. Except for my son. I remember his birthday and different events when his accident happened and all stuff like that. But anyway, let's get back to you. What are you going to talk to us tonight about?
Well, we can start way back at the beginning, because the beginning is always a good place to start. You know, everybody knows that the legal issues that people deal with today are seem somewhat, you know, grossly unfair or crooked or mean, or and that is could be true in some cases, but not all. And in order to understand it a little bit in a way that maybe some people haven't thought about viewing it as, we could, you know, when we start from the beginning, you know, I'd like to start with some of the early evidence that we have of the beginning, right?
Okay.
So we have the Holy Bible that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, right? In the New Testament, we got, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we talk about the beginning, it plainly and clearly tells us that the in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word created the heavens and the earth. And to me, I have no doubt of that, although I may disagree in someone's interpretation of it. Of course, the Word, when we go back to the earliest writings, character symbols that are used as, quote-unquote, the Word, we got Sumerian cuneiform, we got Egyptian hieroglyphs, we have Latin, we have Phoenician, we have all these different kinds of early languages and these so-called early words. And a lot of people will point to the bankruptcy of the United States, you know, the 1930s, state of emergency, Reconstruction after the Civil War. They will point to these things as when this birth certificate thing come into effect, and that's not so. The truth is if you go back and look at the oldest writings we have, which are Sumerian and Egyptian, they actually had quote-unquote birth certificates back then. You see, Napoleon, he had a birth certificate. You see, Jesus Christ, he had a birth certificate. And all the other ones had birth certificates, too, because they've been keeping track of this since ancient Sumerian times. A lot of times, you know, when we talk about taking that baby's foot and putting it on that in the ink pad and putting it on that piece of paper, we think of that as something new. And that's just not so. These things were done a long time ago, before Rome, before Israel, before Egypt, before all these things. And there's different reasons why they did what they did, especially with the fingerprints on the balls, the little clay balls that they would actually use fingerprints on in ancient times. Now, they called those balls, or should I say, they called them bulls, all right? And this is where you get the term papal bull, you know, a papal bull. That's why you have the Bible, you have the bylaws of that organization. But when you look at the Holy Bible, you got the Bible, which is the bylaws. This is the bylaws for this corporation, this body, this church, whatever, this religion, this republic, this religion. And you can look at it, you know, in that sense, because the term bull actually comes from the term ball, and it's where they used to either put the footprints or the thumbprints in. Now, you know the story of Jacob when he was working for Laban in the Bible, and that he had taken charge of Laban's sheep, you know, his herd and his cattle, and that he talked Laban into giving him any price he wants, and he said, well, just give me the such-and-such marked cattle. And what they're talking about is people. You know, when you hear it in the Bible, they're not talking about animals. They're not talking about sheep. They're not talking about oxes and cows. They're talking about people.
Right.
And so when these things were done, this is how they would know whose property. Well, is that the white goat or is that the black goat? Because if it's the white goat, it's mine. If it's the black goat, it's yours. And the same way with animals that had certain markings, right? And like I said, they would keep track of this stuff onto clay tablets. And they were very meticulous in the record. Like when we got the Valley of the Kings over there in Egypt where they have all the tombs and things that with the writings on it and everything. Well, these are the word hieroglyphic, you know, when we look at that word hieroglyphic, it's really not hieroglyphic, and this is a very important thing to maybe keep an eye out on, is the way in which we pronounce words. And what I mean is once you study so much language, and I'm not an expert, but once you study so much language, you start to read words differently because the basis there is just the sound or the shape of the characters or letters that's throwing you off. For instance, you know, we got PH, which makes the F sound, you know, but we spell it PH. Well, why do we have an F?
Right.
You know, and these types of things. Well, when we go back to the beginning, in the beginning was the word was with God, and word was God. God created the heavens and the earth. All right. The word created the two realms. See, and in order to know who you are, what your rights are, and everything, this is why you got to have that quote unquote mark, that birth certificate, that name and that number, because you know, it really does go back that far to ancient Sumerian and Egyptian time. Now, the term hieroglyphic actually means God words. And when we talk, when we look at language and how we talk to one another, and whether we're two tribes, two nations, two countries, trying to communicate with each other, words are very important because, especially in contracts and negotiations, treaties, compacts, trade agreements, these types of things between one nation or one body organism has contact or trade relations with another organization or body organization, what we call a body politic. So that's one of the reasons we have this so-called birth certificate. And when you want to do business with anybody else, you enter what's called public. See, you're fine, and if you own your own little home, and you own your own little land, and you got your nice little house right bab smack in the middle of it, that's fine and grand. But as soon as you come out onto the road, as soon as you leave your property, your land, you enter what we call the public. And due to previous agreements that didn't work out, when somebody wants to borrow money, we have the technology today to require some kind of documentation that identifies you, who you are, and then since we don't know you, who's going to be backing you up as far as being a surety. And that's why I wanted to talk about that, the birth certificate, what it is in that instrument, because it is an instrument.
Okay.
A formal document evidencing a person's place and date of birth, but not a man or a sentient being or whatever. When we are born into this world, we are assigned a billet. And you can look at a billet.
A billet?
Yeah, anybody who's been in the military is going to know what I'm talking about. It's a position or a rank within an organized precept body. For instance, you know, in a platoon or a company or a division of troops. Well, there's so many peons, you know, the workers, and then there's so many staff sergeants or so many petty officers, and there's so many officers or so many lieutenants, and, you know, and at the top of that organization, there's always what we call the head of the organization. And we call that, usually in the military, it's called captain, okay? But that's what cap means. It means head. It's capital, kappa. If you do the study on a Greek word, Greek letter kappa, this billet that we're assigned, some people are assigned the rank of captain. Some people are assigned the rank of point man on a fire team. Some people are assigned a position or an office where they are a supply manager. All right? And, well, that's the way they have the system up, and this is called the Roman system, or should I say the human system, because that's what a W is, the W-O, the woe. No, it's the W is actually a W, and that's where you get the term human, and you see the humans are the Romans, see, the woe man. Anyway, so when you're born, the first thing that happens, now, you know, let's just look at the facts, not the presumptions, but let's look at the facts. As soon as you come out of your mother's womb, the first person to assume custody of you was who? Well, I'll tell you who it was. It was the doctor who was sitting there waiting to take custody of that infant. All right? And what happens is they assume custody, and it falls right in line with the statute. You know, the person who assumes custody of the infant of unknown parentage shall report on a form to the registrar by such and such date, such and such information. Well, what that doctor does right then and there, he makes what's called a private placement adoption. See, because apparently, and we can look at it different ways, and I don't want to say, you know, it's this or that, because it could be different for everyone depending on the evidence and the facts you got. But when you're born, that doctor assumes custody, and he makes a private placement adoption. That goes on right there because, see, whenever we look at what actually happened, we want to take that Sherlock Holmes approach. We want to take that mathematical certainty approach by running it through the logical equations, you know, to see if it works, see if it fits, you know. And that's what we want to do with, you know, the events that took place there. Well, according to the record, they're going to say that you're an infant of unknown parentage, that the doctor found you, see, because that's what it says. The person who assumes custody shall report on a form. Well, who reported to the registrar? Well, it was the doctor. His signature's on it. He's the one that reported. And he's getting information from the, quote-unquote, informant. But so that checks out. Now, when you look at the birth certificate and you look at KRS 213.051 and or any other equivalent, you'll see that things start to fall in line. Once you understand the truth of the facts, you know, of what happened there at the delivery room. See, you were delivered, you see. And what really happened there is, yes, does the state take control and assume control and custody of the estate? Yes. Then they assign you, you know, the mother or father who think it's their child. No. Didn't you listen to the lady on MSNBC? We got to get away from the notion that individuals think that children belong to them, their parents, but children belong to the community as a whole. That's the way some of these people think. They've been thinking about that way for a long time. That's just the mouthpieces for the assholes that actually run the world. So you look at the birth certificate information that is on there, and it all falls in line with exactly what the statute says it does. Date and place of finding, to whom the child was placed with for care, the name given to the child by the custodian of the child. This is where you get custodial parental rights, custodial rights. Well, who's the custodial parent? What do you mean, custodial parent? What are you talking about? You talking about property here? You know, and to look at things like that and be able to look at logically and mathematically with certainty about what would happen, you know, a lot of people seem to have problems with it because they want to dance on presumption and, you know, some misinformation perhaps. But what is it? What does it do? What can you do with it? What did supposed to use it, and why does the Bible, the bylaws have to do with all this concerning the stuff? Well, there's all kinds of different things that you can do involving that so-called birth certificate. One, it is an instrument, and I would argue, and I think I would have a very good argument, that I was transferred or conveyed what that instrument was conveyed to me. It was delivered to me as an incomplete instrument. Maybe if you go take your birth certificate out and look on it and see if there's a spot on there that says note. Some have them, some of them don't. But what I would say, what I could say, is that that instrument is endorsed to me and delivered to me in blank. Now, so that's just one thought for some people to think of, that that I could actually turn that document over. See, to that document, that document has a lot of terms to it. We have the head or the header of the document. We have the foot of the document, you know, where you put the foot notes. You have the cheeks of the document. You have the nose of the document. And you have the body of the instrument. All right, and this is what they mean. Anytime you have a blank application that you fill out or something, what this is called the skeleton of an instrument. The instrument doesn't have any flesh on it. It has no body to it. It has nothing head, you know, it's nothing there. So you have to put flesh on those so-called bones on that instrument, because that's what it's called, skeleton of an instrument. When you call up and get that birth certificate, this is a fact. And as long as we stay within the realm of facts and don't break the rules, we can do whatever we want. And it's like kind of like the Matrix a little bit. See, the people who are bound to the quote-unquote Matrix is the people who accept the definition or the meaning of a word that was told to them instead of looking into it and noticing, well, hold on, that word, that term can have several meanings. And since it can have several meanings, that means that code or that law could have several meanings itself. And depending on how well-informed you are and what kind of authority you can bring to the table, well, you could change the code as far as law goes. And for instance, like we're talking about the instrument endorsed to you in blank. Let's look at the facts. I'm not claiming anything but the facts. They have delivered unto me a signed and sealed blank instrument. Now you'll see on a lot of the birth certificates that it'll say void if altered, or, you know, alteration or whatever. What is alteration? What is alter? Well, see, you can't alter an instrument. You can't have any alteration in an instrument until it's complete. And when you get that document is an incomplete instrument. And the reason it's an incomplete instrument is because, one, it doesn't have another signature on it. Right? You look at it. The other thing is, if you turn it over, if you turn the birth certificate over so that the back is looking up to the top, well, you can create the face of the instrument there, the heads of it, the heads and the tails, the front and the back, the top and the bottom, the obverse and the reverse. See, when Jesus went into the temple and he turned the tables on the money changers, what he did is turned over his birth certificate, and he made it into what he wanted it to be. And when he did that, he made the bankers, the ones who created the entity, the ones who had the real party and interest in it, he made them the backers. See, now they're underneath. Now they're the undertakers. They're the undertakers and the backers. And they're going to be held responsible, and you get to judge them for how much ever. But that was just one thing when we talk about, you know, that birth certificate and what you can do with it. Now, in my case, you know, they kind of messed up and stated on the record that I was operating a state agency. And I just used that to my advantage to get a little bit of what I thought was owed to me. And truth is, it could be anything you want it to be. But it's up to you. You have what they call free will, right? Because the name of the Lord, which is supposedly sacred, and you're not supposed to say it or speak it, is free will. See, because in the beginning, God created the Word, and the Word created the heaven, or excuse me, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and God created the heavens and the earth. Well, everybody wants to talk about what happened at that split instant before the Big Bang happened, or before the document was created, or before this happened, or before that happened. Well, this is what we call the will. It's the will. When you see Jesus, a picture of Jesus, and he's got, you know, type it in right now, everybody. Go to Google Images and type in Jesus. Painting of Jesus, picture of Jesus. Type it in, and what you're going to see is you're going to see Jesus, and he's going to be holding up his right hand, and he's going to be holding his hand in a particular position. Now, in his left hand is going to be pointing at a heart in his chest. And that heart is usually going to have a little stem or candle above it with a flame, and it's going to have the thorns surrounding the heart. Now, when you look at this painting or the picture, if you take a line from his elbow to his picture, you'll also see not only is his left hand pointing at his heart in the center of his chest, but it's also pointing through the heart and pointing at his right hand. Because, see, maybe you guys haven't been reading your Bible a whole bunch, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Samson, David, in the book of Psalms, talks over and over and over about the power of the right hand. Matter of fact, you see, if you type in the painting of Napoleon, or type in the hidden hand of power, you're going to see a picture of all these famous people with their hand hiding. Because I could slay 10,000 with my right hand. I will destroy my enemies with my right hand. Read the book of Psalms. That's all David says is, your right hand is the shit. Don't mess with the right hand, because the right hand will slay you. Well, the reason is the pen is mightier than the sword. And that pen will plague you. See, that's what the plagues were all about. That's
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm looking at these images here. I typed in what you said, and a lot of these people in these images have their right hand tucked into their breast pocket or into their coat. You've got Washington and Napoleon, other guy. I mean, they're hiding their hand.
Yes. Because it's the hidden hand of power.
Literally.
It's by and through the paper. Do you see the picture of Jesus when he's pointing his left hand through the heart? Well, see, the word heart, they come by hearing by the word of God. So, try to hear what I'm saying instead of letting the pictures or preconception image of what I'm trying to convey. Let's just listen to what I'm saying. When a football player runs across the goal line and he points up and says, "Thank the Lord, I want to thank the Lord." He's right. He better thank the Lord, because without the Lord, he wouldn't have scored that touchdown. I guarantee it. We talk about home is where the heart is. Well, the heart is actually a term used in ancient Norse and Germany that means will. See, because we say, "Hey, man, that kid has a lot of heart." No, that kid has a lot of will. Just like the football player, when he ran the 80-something yards hauling his ass off and crossing the goal line, the only reason he crossed that goal line is because of the will. See, that's what exists before anything. Nothing comes into existence without the will. There's no automobile. There's no city. There's no tree. There's no nothing without the will. And that's what happened before the quote-unquote Big Bang. And with your, you know, in the Garden of Eden, they said, you know, to hide up the tree of life. You know, they wanted to guard the tree of life with a flaming sword. Well, it's the flaming word, because when we look at words, when we're reading, we're thinking that we're reading it and then not hearing it. Because some words are the same thing, but where we've been confused or beguiled by the serpent, because that's what those Hebrew writings, Arabic writings, and things look like. They look like little serpents on a page, don't it? Or a serpent on a stone. See, don't let the serpent beguile us, the shape of the letters and characters, but let us hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we start hearing things instead of imagination through our visual sight, see, because, see, the devil, he can appear as an angel of light, and that's what, when we open up our eyes, that's what we see. We see light. For instance, if I say, you know, this is why psychiatrists will, or whatever, a therapist will have you say, you know, well, I'm going to say a certain set of words, and I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind. Well, when I say four, what comes to your mind, Angela?
When you say what?
Four.
Four?
Yeah, what
like
comes to
mind?
Like
the number four? Huh?
All right, well, but does that necessarily mean that's what I meant when I said four? By me asking you these questions and you giving me the answers, I get a better insight on how you think. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on in your head? Well, it's the same thing about all the other things. See, an Egyptian year is 365 days of the leap year. Huh. Well, that's civil year. See, people, a lot of the words and the places, Egypt, Jordan River, these places didn't even exist, you know, 400 or 500 years ago. You'll see that the words that they used to indicate that didn't even come into use until the 1700s or 1800s. So first known use, 1700, you know, 1755. Well, how could Egypt be Egypt 2,000 years ago when Egypt was just used, first known use in 1700 and something? No, it's all figurative. See, we live in the land of Egypt, the land of the dead. And we use a 365-day calendar. Well, that's what the Egyptians do. That's an Egyptian calendar, or what we call a civil calendar. And this is another thing we can apply to the aspect of that birth certificate when we want to correct it. When we send out the correction of affidavit, we can tell them to leave it blank. We can say, item number one says child's name, John, should read, then you can change it to should read as blank. And then when you get it, you put it whatever you want in it. Because if you give me a blank instrument, I can fill it out however I want. There's case after case that tells you this.
Okay, but it's not blank, is it?
Well, it's incomplete.
I mean, where it says first name, and there's a name there.
Right.
What are you talking about? Crossing it off or whiting it out? I mean,
you can do whatever you want with it. It's incomplete, you see? It's, you know,
but I thought if it said, if it's altered, it's void, it's altered.
Well,
right?
If it was complete, yes. If once an instrument is completed, it cannot be altered afterwards. But an alteration to an instrument before completion is not an alteration. See? Follow me? An alteration or a change in something before the instrument is completed is not an alteration. So, you know, check out the definition, check it out. Do a little bit of research on alteration to instruments. When can you and when can't you?
Okay, but where does it say not completed? I mean, how do you arrive at when it's completed or not completed?
Well,
I mean, how do you determine
well, somebody's got to make that determination, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, if you've got a birth certificate after the fact, I guess you would conclude that it was a completed item. You wouldn't conclude that it was up for modification.
The only one that's going to be able to determine that is you. You see, the state of Ohio, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, the United States can't do shit. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't have any eyes. It doesn't have any ears. It doesn't have a mouth. It doesn't have a hand. It doesn't do anything. It can't argue with you. But it does have people who claim to represent it. Now, that's a different question. But, and that's where you get into something else about attacking their quote-unquote credibility. But as far as the state of Ohio or the state of Texas are actually arguing with you over something is never going to happen. You understand that, right? You know, it's a fictional person. It's an entity. It can do nothing by itself. It must be done by agent. Now, when the agent steps up, you got to be able to know what to say then. You know, what firsthand personal knowledge do you have in this regard? Matter of fact, I think I'm the only one in this conversation that was there when these events took place, and I'll tell you what my name is, when I was born, where I'm from, and what I'm doing here. Now, unless you have firsthand personal knowledge, Mr. Agent, sit down and shut up.
Okay, but isn't that, aren't you saying then that it's their certificate, not yours?
Well, who's claiming what? The only thing that's claiming, the only thing anybody is claiming is you. Call up the registrar, ask them. They're not claiming it's this, that, or this. You guys have been doing this for how long? And the registrar won't tell you this way or that way. They're not claiming it's anything. You are. And this is what you mean when we talk about the will. See that the will is the sign of competence. Nothing happens without the will. And see, where is your will? See, faith without works is dead. You shall know them by their fruits, their deeds. See, because the kingdom of heaven is not in your mouth. The kingdom of heaven is at your hand. And you do that by your will. Now, the will, make sure you didn't read your Bible, the will is the highest law there is. But it only takes effect after you're dead. You get to judge the world in your will, after you die, it becomes law. The highest law. The will is the highest law. Nothing exists without the will. The Declaration of Independence is a will. The Constitution for the United States of America is a will. The Articles of Confederation is a will. Nothing comes into existence without a will. And whenever we bring an entity into existence, the entity cannot touch the ground. He can't do it. He's not allowed. He's a figment of imagination. So we got to find a seat for him. We got to find a situs or a situs or a situs. A seat, a throne. See, because that's what you, when you make idols, when you make images and likenesses of man, you have to put them on a pedestal, which a pedestal, for you guys that got bowling trophies, baseball trophies and stuff, every image and likeness must sit on a pedestal or what's called a throne. All right? And the term sovereign actually comes from a Muslim term, an Islamic term, and that means sofa. It's sofa reign, indicating that the seat is two-sided. The seat's two because, see, when you look at the coins, Caesar is on one side, Christ is on the other side. And that's all you got to do with your damn birth certificate. See, Caesar's on the side you're looking at, and you're looking all over the place trying to find remedy. And all you got to do is turn that birth certificate over and put it into whatever you want. And that's what Jesus did when he turned the table. See, that is a table. See, that's a plane, and that is at the top, and there's a body and a face. There's all kinds of things going on in that little magic rectangle.
Did you take yours and alter yours to what you want it to be?
Well, I got what I wanted, and you know,
what'd you get?
That. Well, I can't talk about exactly what, you know.
Well, give us a little summary.
Well, I got a settlement, you know. I get a lump sum and some cash every month, you know.
From what? I mean, is
from
that was from the law
agency.
That was what? I'm sorry?
For me operating the agency.
Okay. You want to go into a little more detail on that? So those people that don't know what you're talking about get an idea of what you're talking about?
Well, I'm getting in there at about another step or two.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, when we talk about coming into existence, the will. See, if you go look on the Department of Justice website, it'll tell you the common law is the will of the people issued forth from the life of the people. Where's your will? See, the people of Kentucky have put all their faith and trust in God. That's why you see it everywhere here, on the back of police cars. It's on the money. It's in the courthouse. It's everywhere. What does it say? In God we trust. Did you put your trust in God? Because if you haven't, then you're not one of the people, because the people of Kentucky have put all their faith and trust in God. Now, unless you put all your faith and trust in God, you're not one of the people. It's a simple algebraic logic equation. You test it, you know, 1 plus 1 equals 2. 1 plus X equals 3. Well, that tells us, you know, X is 2. And we just use that simple algebraic logic to look at these questions. The people of the United States, in God they trust. Have you? And if you say, yes, I have, I would ask you, well, where's the proof? Where's the fruit? Where's the deed that shows you put your faith and trust in God? Where is your will? Did you go deposit your will? Because if you didn't go deposit your will, and this all ties in with a lot, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, this will probably be ringing bells off, that have been studying this and understand the concept of what a birth is. See, an entity is always located in the jurisdiction of its organization. Now, that entity must have a seat, or should I say a site. See, we don't want to get confused with the word. It's a sit or site. Well, it actually all means the same thing. Don't be confused about it. You get the idea. All right? All entities have to have a seat. The reason the District of the United States is located in the District of Columbia is because that is where the Constitution, the body of the instrument, the will, the Constitution for the United States is a will, that is where it has its seat. And wherever that entity has a seat, that is called his situs or the situs. Okay? And this is where you talk about entities. Entity itself, see, the paper, the Constitution for the United States, is just a piece of paper that sits there in a box on its throne. and it needs someone to give it life. And that's where people give it life. That's, it's, then this is what we call representation or agency. Now, no entity can do anything except by agency. You know, it's very important to understand that. That no entity, see, the United States ain't never done shit to you. The state of Ohio ain't never done shit to you. The state of Texas, the state of this, they ain't never done shit to you. What's always done something to you is the agents. Because only the agents can fill out the paper. Only the agents can put in and put the shit in the computer. Only the agents could do that. The entity can't do shit. So let's always look at the facts about what is really going on. So we have agents operating entities, and this is what we refer to as legal existence. And this would be in the Admiralty Maritime Law. One thing you might want to look at is a thing called datum. Type it in, you'll see how some states are underwater. And you know, and that's all it has to do with Admiralty Law and all that good stuff, but I ain't going to get into that. I'm just going to talk about the entity and the agency and the registered organization. When an entity, see, they created the entity, and they nominated you as agent, and an infant can be an agent. Now, you, throughout your whole life, you've been operating this agency. And what I mean by that is you've been using that name and conducting business and other things with that certificate of, you know, of authority, certificate of existence, public record showing it was organized. It has many names. You call it document title, bill lading, you know, it all depends on who you ask. But that entity doesn't have a place to sit, and this is why we talk about wanderers, the wandering stars, you know, which is what we are when we don't plant ourselves. All right, see, because that's what we want to do. We want to have roots. Well, you don't have no roots unless you're planted in the ground, you know. And we want to be like those plants. You know, we want to be like the plants and the trees in the garden. We don't want to be like the animals and the other creatures. We want to be part of the earth, you know, a symbiotic relationship with it. But anyways, getting back to the entity. The entity has to have this thing called a sit, a site, a situs, or its throne, or it can't be, you know, it'll still be located. And this is why that birth certificate is actually, you know, like I said, it could be many things depending on the evidence, what the evidence you got, and who you can convince of it. But the birth certificate, the entity that was created, see, he can't come into the world yet. He's on hold because there's no seat for him. And the agent hasn't found one for him. And that's kind of what we need to do as far as that entity goes when we look at it just from the strictly commercial aspect of it. But there's also the religious aspect of it. When David says, talks about, talking about the Lord coming down from heaven with darkened clouds upon his feet. You see, what it all comes down to, one of these days you've got to take your foot, put it in some ink, and you're going to take your foot and you're going to crush the serpent's head. You're going to turn that birth certificate over, and you're going to create an arc with the arc of your foot over the head of the serpent. And when you do this, this is why they have the feet washing ceremony. This is what Jesus did. When he took, not only did he go in there and turn the tables on the bankers, that means he turned that tablet, because remember back then they didn't have paper. Paper was really expensive, so they had clay tablets or clay tables. And if you go look at archaeology and stuff, they actually refer to those stone writings as tables. You see, when Moses and Aaron went down to Pharaoh's court, Moses told Aaron to cast his rod upon the stone so it become a serpent. No, what he did is took his pen and put it to paper. See, his staff became a serpent by writing words. But don't be deceived by the serpent. because who's to say what that word meant and what they meant when they wrote it? But and it's the same way with David and Goliath. See, you when I say talk about the picture of David and Goliath, a lot of people see think of a little boy and big old giant. No, see, you're being confused. You're being beguiled by the imagery and the serpent. So the story of David and Goliath is a court battle, you see. David come to the Israel camp, and that's an interesting word that you might want to check out, camp, because it also means steep. That Israel was encamped, and the Philistines came and challenged. And among the Philistines, they had a champion. You know what a champion is, right? Somebody who represents another in a battle, like an attorney. As a matter of fact, they call it champerty. Champion, we need to find us a champion. They used to duel, you know. I'll be the lady's champion. I'll be the representative. See, amongst the Philistines, they had a champion who was called Goliath. So, man, it's the guy who Goliath, because that's what attorneys do. They Goliath. Get it? You get it?
Yeah.
All right. So, well, when the giant, you know, the champion of the law for the Philistines brought suit against the Israel, David went out there and stood before him. And the man who Goliath, the attorney, you see, he said, am I a dog that you bring a boy out here? And David said, well, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord my God. Now that's a strong thing to say, because, see, when David had a sling and he had a stone, you think stoning is when somebody picks up a rock and hits somebody with it. No, it was when somebody went and filed charges. And when they file charges against you, you got plague. See, the black plague wasn't doing nothing about no big disease or nothing. It's all legal, all of it. So when David took his stone, see, not only did David have a sling and a pouch with some stones in it, but he also carried a staff with him. But see, he was on defense. He didn't have to write anything. All he had to do was file a motion, and that's why he had a sling to put his stone, his file, his paper, in motion, and he hit the giant in the forehead. You'll get it? The forehead of the document? And then he beheaded him. That means he took his title. He took his cap. He won the lawsuit. See, same way with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they went into the fiery furnace. Well, what the hell is the fiery furnace? Well, when you go to court, if you've ever been burning with anger, you've probably been in the fiery furnace.
Yeah.
Because that's what the whole Bible says, and if you listen to me and look at it like that, things are going to start making a lot of sense. Anyways, getting back to the will, nothing exists without the will. You do not want to die intestate. Put all your faith and trust in the Lord your God. A lot of people say it. How many people are going to put it in writing? Now, given this fact, whatever you want to give me, see, they gave me a person. They assigned me a name. They assigned me an account. They gave me this. They gave me an estate. Now, maybe the estate was a positive estate, or maybe it was a debtor's estate. Maybe it was a creditor's estate. I don't know. But whatever they give me, whatever you want to give me, Angela, whatever anybody wants to give me, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, whether it's a credit or a debt, whether it's a duty or an obligation or a privilege or a license, whatever it is you want to give me, I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it in trust to the Lord my God. Now, that brings up some curious things concerning legal implications. You know, question. can a court exercise or interfere with the administration of trust property or subjects of a trust when the trustee and the trust was formed in a foreign jurisdiction? And the answer is no. A court cannot interfere with the administration of a trust when the trustee is God. You get it? That's why you can't sue the people of Texas or the people of California. Why? Because in God they trust. Now, who is God? What is God? Where can I find this God? Remember, God sits up there on top of the mountain. Right? He sits up there on the throne. He who sits on the throne on top of the mountain of God, where there's smoke and thunderings and flashes of light. Well, I've been in court many times, and I've heard many of, I've seen many of clouds. I've heard many of thunderings, and every once in a while, I catch a flash of light. Because when you walk into that courtroom, you're walking into the temple. You don't get it, people. You're walking into the temple. You're standing in the holy place. Go look it up, the Tabernacle of Moses. Look out inside it. Look at the picture. That is the courtroom, where on one side you have the table of showbread. The other side is the table which is supposed to have the seven candlesticks. But see, there's no showbread there, and there's no candlesticks there. They're supposedly missing. That's because we don't know what's going on. When we go in there, we're in the holy place. But we can't see the Holy of Holies because the veil is above us. It's not an actual physical veil. It's a physical veil of your eyes. A mental veil that you can't see it. When you go into court, you're looking up at God. Or should I say, he who sits on the throne that is representing God. And God's lost. Because that little podium that you've got standing in front of the judge that maybe some of you guys have went up to, and they like tell you, well, you know, come up here to the podium and talk. Well, that's the altar of incense, where you have to burn much incense or frankincense. It's not frankincense. You got to be frank incense. You know, like to be quite frank with you, to be quite honest with you. And incense is the opposite of insane. So when you get up there, you have to burn much good incense. You have to use your logic. You have to explain the reason. Be smart. Be intelligent. You know, it's like Too Short said. You act like a fool, you get treated that way. But when you go in here to court, you're in the temple. And the veil is before you, and you can't see into heaven. And I tell you who's in heaven. See, the judge, that's why the judge and the two clerks, which are the two witnesses, you know, they're the ones who sit there and watch. They don't say a whole bunch, do they? No, one's a witness for the state, and one's a witness for the church. The clerk is a witness for the church. The bailiff is a witness for the state. Witness the proceedings. So the reason why the judge's thing is off the ground is because they're on the mountain. They're on the mountain of God, see? And there's no safer place or safer abode to be in the cleft of the mountain of God. You know, rock of ages, cleft for me. Go rest high up on that mountain. Well, how do you go rest high up on that mountain? Well, when one takes and deposits a will in the probate court, the clerk is to take it and put it in an envelope and seal it. And you're supposed to write the name of your executor on the outside of that document, on, you know, that envelope. And once you pay the fee, the clerk is to return the certificate of deposit to you along with the receipt and take the will, and the will goes straight to the judge's office inside of a vault. And no one, not in a thousand years, is going to administrate that estate unless they are named on the outside who you name as your executor or your trustee, which I would suggest that you recommend God Almighty as your trustee and the executor when you die. because this means that, see, Elvis is dead, but Elvis Presley, because he put all his faith and trust in God Almighty, Elvis Presley will live forever. And that's what some people might want to, you know, look at is the will. You know, I can talk a lot more about it, but I think I pretty much explained how important the will is.
Okay. Yeah, I've got some questions on here, but go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you if you're going to continue.
Well, just one more thing when we talk about entities.
Okay.
Entities are always located in the jurisdiction of their organization. For instance, any entity that is created by an act of Congress or a regulatory commission or agency is always located in the District of Columbia, even though it may have offices and agents in other countries or in other states all across the world. See, the United States is located in the District of Columbia, but it has offices and branches and agents throughout the whole world. And how do we know who's an agent? Well, this is where you have to have your certificate of authority, or what they call a certificate of a membership, or a certificate of crew. You know, they call it that too, you know, a crew member. There are all kinds of names they have for it, depending on what kind of eyes you view it with, or whether you view it from the air, the land, or the sea. The way they got us is they created the entity. Now, so I want to say that's your entity, it's their entity, and whatever. Well, the more I look at it, it depends on what evidence you got. You can pretty much make it into whatever you want, as long as you got the evidence to support your claim. And you can pretty much make up your evidence. But for those who already know, you know, when you don't want to work for somebody, you resign. You know, that's why all the rich people, you know, at the big banks, when they get caught money laundering for drug money or doing this or that, that's wrong. They always say, I resigned. And the company pays a $1 billion fine. But the men and women who are made those decisions, they walk because they resign, because that's the immunity of, you know, having an entity. So that you don't have to suffer the consequences, that that body can be sacrificed in your stead. But I'll take a few questions if you want. I got about another 20 minutes, and I got a boogie.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me just, if anybody would like to ask a question, press star 8. Okay, Panhandle, Texas, you've been unmuted. Go ahead. And I have a question that was written on the chat. But go ahead.
Okay, hey, Ken, this is Scott in Lubbock. I want to ask you, can you get an agent's lien after you do your resignation letter?
Yes.
I mean, you can. That's not a problem.
Sure. You know, the main thing is when you talk about making claims and when you do or don't make claims, is because, you know, they don't know anything. And when you talk about the statute of limitations, how long do you have? Well, if you just became aware of the right, then that's when the time starts for your, you know, 5 years for statute of frauds or whatever it is, you know, for the time that you figured out or you became aware of the right is when the clock starts. So don't say I was aware of this 10 years ago, you see, because and a lot of times they don't even know, you know, these people don't know anything about you. The only way they know anything at all about you is what you tell them.
Well, I did send in a letter. I don't know if you're familiar with SEDM. Sovereignty Education Defense Ministry. I had sent in their documents called Declaration of Intention to Divorce, to Change Domicile Citizenship and Divorce the United States. So it essentially, Declaration of Intention to Change Domicile Citizenship and Divorce the United States.
Right. I mean, there's many ways you could do it. There's many ways you can word it, you know, and that's a perfectly sound way to do it. But let us not confuse the citizenship with your real person. See, because yes, there is you, the natural physical person. And yes, there is the agency, a merchant man, a merchant vessel that they created, the all capital letter name, what you want to call it. That's a little deeper conversation, but you know, but there's also the estate that was promised to you by God. See, you don't want to abandon that estate. You don't want to divorce that estate. So I'm saying be careful what you do and how you do it.
Well, what about, and I've got rental properties, and if you, there's not any problem because I'm in possession because I'm in control, correct? So there's no difference between a personal mortgage and a loan. This is a local bank that's not been sold in the mirrors and all that stuff. But do you perceive the issue with that?
Yeah, you can just go ahead and lean all that up. Another way to do it is to say, I declare it in trust. See, I can go out here and I can take this car off the road and take it back to my house and go the next day and file a piece of paper saying, hey, I'm declaring that I'm holding this automobile in trust for the owner until he comes and gets it. Now, when I do that, I automatically start charging fees for being the trustee. See?
Well, are you familiar with Daniel Benham? Have you heard him on here? It basically he has a letter that you send to the bank where you establish that they didn't loan you any money. And I didn't know if that was, this process by resigning the resignation. If they start a foreclosure process and the resignation letter doesn't work, then I can use that maybe as a backup or use it in conjunction with this.
Let me help you understand money a little bit better. Of course, the bank didn't loan you any money, all right? But that's you're the one that created the money. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, that money was then put into circulation and paid to people like me who actually went out and provided something of value, such as putting a roof on your house. See? Right. Well, this is one of the problems we have with the inequality is that some people are allowed to create money and not pay back, and some people create money and they lose everything when they don't pay it back, like people in a mortgage crisis or a foreclosure or whatever. The money, people say, well, nothing's back in the dollar. It's, there's nothing back. Bullshit. The dollar is backed by a mortgage on all the homes and other property of the people of the nation. See, but that's where you talk about getting tied into, like you was talking earlier about, divorce in the United States, getting away from them. But once you're no longer part of their organization and you're not using their agency, that means you don't have to worry about what treaties and agreements that they'd entered into. Understanding what Congress can and can't do is very important because 99% of all the laws they pass is under the Commerce Clause, which is the interstate commerce, and they have complete jurisdiction, exclusive jurisdiction to legislate over interstate commerce. So you have to limit yourself to what transactions you get into interstate commerce because it doesn't make a difference who you are. Whether you're from Idaho or whether you're from Britain or from wherever, if you enter into an international or interstate trade transaction, that law applies to you, period. So when you create that money, you charged, you used it to get energy from people. Well, the people that did that, they want to get their money back. Well, how, who is supposed to pay them back? Well, you're supposed to. See? So money is backed by all the Federal Reserve notes and all the money is backed by your property. See? You're the one that created it. If you didn't have the property, you wouldn't be able to go create it. So that money that you use to give to the roofer to put on your house, to put the roof on your house. See, he wants some value too. He went out and worked his butt off putting the roof on, and now he's coming back to you saying, hey, man, you want to pay me back the money, the energy? And you say, well, no, I created the money. You guys didn't loan me no money. No, of course the bank didn't loan you no money. The guy who put the roof on your house loaned you his energy. And he wants some of the energy back, but you don't want to pay it back, see? That's just another way to look at it.
Well, if our goal is to try to get evidence for our status to be disclosed when we go into the probate court, to try to develop that, to get that evidence that's behind the scene, I'm assuming when you write a basic inquiry letter to your status, they're not going to, be forthcoming. What about sending a property tax bill to the governor and asking him, asking him if you're the registered organization?
Well, the first thing you want to do is find out if there's an account. The second thing you want to do is find out what is the a statement of the account. Okay? Now, one thing to remember about accounts, there's always three accounts. There's the real account, the personal account, and the nominal account. The one that we deal with mostly when we deal with the agency and the agency estate, we're talking about the individual or personal account. That's why you fill out an individual tax income. But if you were to get your RACS report, you would see that whoever is controlling that entity at the top, see, you're only an agent operating as an estate agent of that agency. So when you fill out your income taxes, you fill out an individual income tax. That means you're just filling out as an agent of the company. That's what you're supposed to do. But the executive, the head of the company, the head of the organization, he also has to file taxes. And this is where you get the real account. Because the real account, if you get your RACS report, you're going to see that since that entity was created, that all capital letter name, what you call all capital letter name, don't have to be an all capital letter name, but generally it is. But when you can go look into the IRS manual, and they tell you that it's the entity name, John Doe, that the Doe name is called the primary taxpayer name or the primary entity name. This is what, the entity has to fill out income taxes, and so do you. So does the employee. Not only does the employee have to fill out the income taxes, but so does the employer. Now, also think about that with your straw man, with your state agency, your entity there. When you fill out the income tax, you're filling out the individual income tax. But the head of the organization, he's filling out the total or the real account. And when you look at the discrepancy, if you get the RACS report from the IRS, you're going to see that the real account is actually carrying hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars there. Because I used to think that there wasn't that money there, but there's no doubt in my mind it is now.
Well, Ken, I don't want to take up too much more time, but I wanted to ask you. I'm curious why Al Barcroft didn't have standing, and if that's relevant to where, if when we give up our rights, if there's going to be instances where we lose standing in court, and what type of information we need to put on our lien, if we want to put a memorandum of lien and keep the information private, or go ahead and put it all on the lien.
Hey, have you ever asked how many birth certificates you can get? Why is it that I can call up and get 20 birth certificates? Don't that seem to create a condition where fraud is likely to occur? Well, unless the birth certificate can be used as something else, like I was saying earlier about the blank instrument. What about just go ahead and filing your lien on that document, writing it on that document, sign off on it in front of a notary, and then now you have your certified copy of your lien. Get it?
Say it one more time.
You can take the birth certificate, right? It's endorsed in blank. Turn it into whatever you want. Turn it into a lien. You know, it's already signed and sealed. They've already sealed it. They've already endorsed it in blank. You see what I'm saying? You can turn it into whatever you want.
Because they didn't sign their signature on it, right?
But no, because they signed their signature and they got their seal on there. But does it have yours? No.
No.
Because the instrument is incomplete.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Now, if I give you an incomplete instrument, you could do whatever you want to it, especially when it's endorsed in blank.
What about the
you can turn it into a note. You can turn it into a bill of exchange. You can turn it into a check. You can turn it into whatever you want.
Have you done this?
I'm getting ready to.
Okay.
Well, you said it was void. You know, a lot of times it's void if altered. So what about that?
Well, that's where you have to go look at the definitions. If you just stop right there, oh crap! It says right here on the bottom. It says void if altered. Well, what do you mean by altered? Because you can't alter an instrument until it's complete. See?
Good point. Polly and Rich, they mentioned something about filing a certificate of assumed name and a certificate of existence, and I wasn't familiar with that. That might be on the programs and the.
Oh yeah, that's just where any entity can like if I work for Walmart, as an agent for Walmart, I can go to a different state and do a DBA under operating under assumed name, using Walmart as the real entity name, for doing it.
And they did that because they were still in the system.
Well, you can. I mean, look. If you want to be in the commercial world, you're going to have to abide by the rules. Everybody plays by the same commercial rules, and I don't care who you are or how much money you got. If you play in that commercial world, you're going to play by the rules like everybody else. But don't get yourself confused. Don't get confused about who's who. And what's what, where's where, and how, and why is why. You see what I'm saying? Make sure you know who is who, what is what, where is where.
Well, two more questions. Yep, sorry.
Oh, come on. We've got two people in line, and he wants to get going.
Okay. Well,
are you do you have to really leave, Ken, or what?
Scott emailed me, and I'll get back with you.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. I hate to cut you off like that when information,
I've had lots of time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next up, North Central New York. You've been unmuted.
Hey, how you doing, Angela?
Fine, thank you.
All right. Hey, Ken, good to hear from you.
How's it going, buddy?
I'd like to get a little more information. You really weren't quite clear on this on this will that you said you would take to the clerk and put in an envelope and the name on it. I didn't quite comprehend what that was about, and this clerk would then take this thing. Is this involving a court case or what?
Well, no. It's a lot of information that I really can't extract the in full because it would take so long. But the short version of it is this, is that you do not want to die in a state because, when we talk about final judgment day, there is going to be a final judgment day, right? See, when you die, your body, the body of rights that you have, is going to go to what we call the estate, which is a body of rights, a body. It's going to go in front of the judge one last time. See, that's final judgment day. You understand what I'm saying? After you die, your estate goes in front of the court one more time, right?
In probate, basically, you're saying yes?
Yes. Well, why is it that some people, when they go to probate, their estates get closed out, but some of people's estates, like Elvis Presley, his estate's still open and still alive?
Because somebody's administering the estate to this day, right?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Elvis put all his faith and trust in the Lord his God, the will of his Father. Because that's what the Lord your God is the will of your Father. You would not exist, lest it be for the will of your Father. Period. Nothing exists without the will. And if you want your life to change, well, why not, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at your right hand. David said, I will slay 10,000 of my enemies with my right hand. Because you just got to know what to write and how to write it. What is court hand? What is the Italian hand? What is the chancellor's hand? Or, should, you know, we talk about going to the chancellor. No, it's the chancellor. And this is one of the things about the words, again, like I was saying earlier, about being able to read through all the bullshit and hear the word that's being said and not reading the word and being tricked. Because some sounds have the same sound as other sounds. Like, let me think here. There's all kinds of words that have the same sound, as but it's written differently, and you would pronounce it differently, but it's actually the same thing. Like heaven, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven, or do they want to go to haven, as in a safe haven? Because that's what they're talking about. And that's why you have the island. What is Israel? It's the island. See, that's what the real was actually spelled R-E-I-L, and it means land. See, you don't want to go to Israel. You want to go to the island. See, because once you have the island on the island, now you can build the fortresses up. Now you have your heart. You have your will at the center. You have your flame at the top, and you have your thorns or your moat around it. And now you see, because that's what all the Egyptian shit is about. Look, whether you're talking about Egypt, whether you're talking about Israelis or Hebrews, or whether you're talking about the Phoenicians or the Greeks or the Romans, or you're talking about the Norse, or whether you're talking about Thor or Zeus or Kronos or Dionysus or whatever god you want to talk about in these stories, talk about, it's all the same shit. It's all the same, and they just use different names. But they always leave the basic root word there. And another thing is not only do they take that same language and apply it to law, but that same language is applied to biotechnology. You don't even want to get me started on what they're doing in biology, because you know the vector sign on NASA and why everybody talks about that. I know what it is, because of folding space. That's what they're doing. That's what causes all the big earthquakes and all the other crazy shit. They're folding space. They tell you that. It's on Wikipedia. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm still not quite getting the process of, maybe you can come back on, Andrew's call,
well,
to talk more about,
well,
his, about the will and testament.
All right, well,
the will and testament or just the will?
Well, it's the will and testament. You see, because,
right,
look, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right, you know how this one goes? Let thy will be done.
Right.
Now, if I wanted to put full faith and trust in the will of my Father, in my God, in the Lord my God, the best way to do that is would be take that Holy Bible and write on the inside or the outside page of it and say, hey, I put full faith and trust in the Lord my God. His will is my will. And now, see, I have my Bible, the Holy Word of God, the bylaws of this organization, and I've just submitted it, His will.
Well, you better get one that's, you better get one that's not
that's
copyrighted.
Right.
All right. On the birth certificate issues, Curtis Kallenbach comes on the call sometimes, and he would talk about the foundling child, the bastard child, the foundling child, the one that's left behind.
That's the same
now,
story of Moses. Moses was a foundling. But keep going.
I believe that the reason why it's always a foundling child is because we talk about the mother's name is always in a maiden name, and it's never registered as a married name. So therefore, the child will always be, as a family child, a bastard child, because it never shows it as being a lawful marriage.
Well, there's a patrial name and there's a matrial name. Now, see,
right.
Well, now here's a little hint, guys. Like I said, I can't go into everything, why everything is, because it takes me forever to talk about it. But can one body be Mr. and Mrs. Jennifer plus Craig, or Jennifer and Craig, or Bob and Joe? Adding one's matrial name, your mother's name, her name, because not only is there a patrial lineage, there's a matrial lineage, and you want to combine the two when you do get that name, and you'll see that a lot of people do that. And another thing is that if you put a Christogram above your name on the birth certificate, and I've seen a birth certificate like the normal one. Then I've seen a baptismal certificate. It was the same way. But they put a little mark above their name, which indicates that that name is sacred and is not to be printed anywhere. And it's like a little X with a P on it. Looks like a little pirate flag, skull and bones with a little flag on it.
Right. I've seen that mark. All right. You used the term entity. And the funny thing was, today I was doing research on it because I was looking at the BIA for Indians and Registered Indian Nations, and they label them as Indian entities. So I'm thinking, well, I need to look up this term entity. From
right.
I have a Tomlin's 1811 on up through. Entity is never defined through Bouvier's Black's Law up until the sixth edition, which is 1960 something. Did they ever define entity? Though in Anderson's, they might use the word entity throughout, like corporate shell, but it was never defined. And it wasn't until, and I'm finding this quite amazing that, and then of course it was defined through a court case. And that court case referred back to 1933, I believe, and I think it was 30-something. It must have been the fourth. Anyways, I can't remember if it was the fourth or fifth. That it was never defined within the legal system entity to the 60s.
Well, I see definitions in law. My Black's Law Dictionary defines entity as a person other than, what we call a natural person. An entity is an artificial person.
It's called a being. It says a being, B-E-I-N-G.
Yes, it is. It's a legal being, you see. In order for the law to recognize you, see, you're free, right? You were born free, but see, in the same breath, you can't enjoy the benefits of the law without the obligations of it. If you're going to submit yourself to a certain law and become a citizen of it, the obligations come as well with the benefits. See. Now, the curious thing about one who turns his life over to God and he becomes civilly dead, and his estate is to be divided up and run as if he's dead. Because he is dead in law. See, because that's the only reason you have a quote-unquote estate is because of the quote-unquote law. Now, you could have an estate in Russian law. You could have an estate in the United States law. Or you can have an estate in God's law. Now, I don't know about you, but I know which one I want.
Right. Well, I'm going to get off and let somebody else who has more intelligent questions than I do. Get on.
Well, just look up instructions on how to deposit a will. Go to your probate court website and look on deposit of a will.
Oh, okay.
Guys, got Google, got the internet. Awesome.
I'll do
okay,
that.
Let's move on. Thank you.
Bye, Angela.
Bye. Okay, next up is Greg Gazoo. Go ahead, Greg Gazoo.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Hello.
Do you have a question?
Well,
hey,
I had a comment, really, and a short question. I just wanted to chime in and clarify a little bit. When I was reading the UCC like a year ago, I started studying some of that, and it does say in there, if somebody gives you an instrument that's incomplete and then you do complete it, it is still binding on the maker, just like if I give you a blank check.
Yes, absolutely, sir. Yep.
Right. And so what you were saying is that you could turn your birth certificate over and turn that into anything?
Yeah. And I just turned them into the undertaker and the backers, see, just by turning the piece of paper over. And then, you know, the only reason I know this is because when I read my Bible, it's telling me, see, but I'm not reading, I'm not seeing the same things that other people are seeing when they read the Bible. When I see the story of David Goliath, I see a court case. When I see Moses and Aaron in the Pharaoh's court, I see a court case going down. When I see Jesus in the temple, I see a court case. Matter of fact, why was he going around with 12 people? He was going around with a grand jury, and he was issuing and answering prayers. He was healing people. See, because the heathens, they don't go down here to the church to wave their hands and talk about prayer. No. When you go to court, what do you pray for? You pray for relief. Why are you praying in that court? Go ahead.
Right. Because it's a church.
The church.
It's the temple. It's the temple.
Right.
You're not exhibiting the seven candlesticks, which are the seven spirits of God.
Yeah, the only book that's in the courtroom is the Bible. They don't bring any law books or anything in there.
But see, you can't see the cleft of the mountain. That's why you're looking up at the judge. That's why you're standing in front of the altar of innocence. And if you're sitting there talking and saying nonsense, you're not going to get to talk to God. You're not going to go enter the Holy of Holies where you get God's commandment, God's will. See, your will is my command, right?
Right.
This is where you got questions. You know, is a will valid if it's not signed by the testator? Well, the answer is yes, it is. If someone directed him, if the testator directed someone to write it down.
That's why
the Bible considers the word of God the will of God. It's the will.
But doesn't the will have to be signed to be valid or enforceable?
Nope.
Oh, so anybody can make up a will?
No. If the testator, if I direct you to write this, Angela, write this down. Thus saith I. This is my will. And it's done in my presence, along with another witness. That will is perfectly valid.
Okay.
Right, because some people, like on their deathbed, they can't write and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Well, for all this stuff that I talk about, it ain't like I did, you know, just come off the top of my head. I've done the research and did the look at the cases, look at the law. When I say these things, I don't make it up off the top of my head. It's out of the law itself. For instance, when we talk about turning the document over, well, that's called turning the tables. Well, that's what Jesus did. He turned the tables on the bankers. See, the bankers were getting, they got their side. See, just like every token or coin, it has to have two sides. See, right now you're looking at the face of it. You see?
Well, once you fill out the back, who would you give that to? Just anybody, whoever you're. Servant.
Well, this is where you have to familiarize yourself, like what you were saying. I'm glad you brought it up because, yes, even in the Uniform Commercial Code, the maker or draw of an instrument is bound by that instrument, even though the person to whom it was delivered or the transferee added to it or did something to it, doesn't make a difference. They're still going to be held binded to it. Now, the one birth certificate that I had, the one that I got afterwards, not the one with my new name and stuff on it, but the other one, which would come in like a little certificate form, well, guess what it got on it? It says right there on it, it says, note. And it's blank.
Hmm.
So you'd just be filling out the back and passing it out all over the place, or you give it back to the bottle of license,
or what? Why else can I call up your probate, your registrar, call up your registrar's office to say, yeah, I'd like to have a copy, 20 copies of my birth certificate sent to me.
I think they'll only give you 3 nowadays.
Well, not in Ohio, they'll give you 20.
I guess it depends on which one you're getting, because are you talking about the one that's on paper?
That could be true, because, you know, there's different types. There's a certificate of live birth, then there's the certificate, it's certification of birth. So, yes, you know, but if you call up to the registrar and ask and say, how many copies can I order, I guarantee you're going to be surprised how many you can order.
Why can I order 20? I don't know. That's really interesting.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because it could be used as exactly what I'm telling you for, because they're blank instruments. You just don't know it. See, the truth
is...
Well,
no, the thing is, there's different types of birth certificates, like you said earlier. Okay.
Right.
Now, one time I wanted to get a copy of my birth certificate, and when I went to get the copy and fill out the paperwork, it asked, is this for passport purposes or for other, whatever it was.
Yes.
And they give you the one on banknote paper if it's for a passport. But I didn't get the other one because I wasn't interested in anything else but the one on banknote paper that was, I thought, was the right one to get.
Right.
So I never saw what the other would look like. The ones I ordered, they came with my name in upper and lower case letters.
Right.
And that don't
necessarily mean anything.
Okay. Well, I know that the other version comes in all caps, right? The commercial one? The one for vital statistics?
It'll come in both. It's really not that important. The only thing, the reason that they put them in all caps is that sometimes when they put... Sometimes there's hidden messages and different imprints that a machine reads when you put those documents in the scanner.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you put it in a block letter, it transfers secret information. Because when you get pulled over, the cop, the judge, the clerk, they don't know you from Adam. That's why they want to see the ID, and they want to run you through the computer. Why? Because they're machines. They're just extensions of the machine. They're going to do whatever the computer tells them to do. See?
Yeah, and there are hidden meanings to different symbolisms, different letters and caps.
Right, but not only that, there's even the ink that they use has hidden messages in it. It's called electromagnetic ink.
You know, somebody else had a question here. I'm sorry. Did you have any more questions?
Yeah, that's all I wanted to bring up was the UCC thing and ask him where he was passing these birth certificates around. Because I don't think you want to just go handing them out to just anybody. You know, it has to
be. Well, no, of course not.
Official.
No,
if you're in a court case or what, you know, you're. Go ahead.
Some things you might want to do is look at is crossing your check, cross check.
Mm-hmm.
Cross check? What's that?
Yeah, a cross check. Well,
what is that? To the birth certificate. What does that have to do with the birth certificate?
Well, you're calling it a birth certificate, right? I'm calling it an instrument endorsed in blank.
Okay.
Well, that means I can change it into whatever I want. If I want to change it into a check, I'll change it into a check. If I want to change it in this, I change it in that.
I see. So
right,
if you're in a court case in a situation, let's say...
That is the evidence of your estate with them. You know that's the agency, and it's the state. Don't mix the two. You know what I'm saying? No, you have your estate. The agency has its estate. You have an interest in the agency's estate. But so may other people. So when
so
you go in here,
it
even says in the Constitution that the person of a debtor shall not be held in prison after delivering up his entire estate for the benefit of his creditors. Well, if I give you a piece of paper with a blank with a signature, my signature on it, and I give it to you in blank, I'm giving you a blank check. Ain't you ever heard the term? They're giving them a blank check. Oh, my God, they're giving them a blank check. Well, that's what you do. That's what you have.
Okay. Okay.
So when you say cross-check, what do you mean cross-check? What does that mean?
You'll have to go. You have to go read it up.
Well, in my opinion, cross-check means double-check, right?
It's two little parallel lines that transverses the bleed area on a printed instrument. The instruments have what's called bleed areas, and this is where they bleed you from because you can't see it. You don't know what's going on. You think it's just a check? Well, you better look and see whether or not it's all framed in. That's very important when we talk about these things is putting the frame. What is a coastline? What is a shore line? What the hell is a bar? And why do I got to get called to the bar? These people, I don't know what they don't know. They don't understand. Just look up datum, D-A-T-U-M. Look at the pictures, and you're going to find out that under maritime law, that there are certain levels, quote-unquote, sea levels, that people can operate at. The highest level, which covers the whole earth, is Admiralty Maritime Commercial Law. It is everywhere. Now, a little bit below that, you have what's called private state land. A little bit above that is what you call public state land. Who are you, where are you from, and what are you doing here? Because, like George Maxwell says, the world don't work like you think it does. It doesn't. But what, you know, home is where the heart is. Home is where the will is. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, there was another question here. I think it was Timothy asked on the chat. What is the status of the administrative process the attorney offered and you agreed to?
Oh, it's done, you know. I got check and...
What was that about?
You know. Well, it's about operating agency, you know. If you go back and listen to the last call, I think, with you, you know, I explained it, you know, what my situation was, having a lot of issues and then trying some things out in court, and I actually got the judge to say, you know, that I was operating a state agency. Well, it's just common sense after that, folks. And if you're going to let some Goliath knock you off your track or your you know, your truth, that's your problem. You're the pushover. They said I was operating a state agency. Well, how could I be operating a state agency unless a state agency exists? And if a state agency does exist, where is the proof of its existence? And if its proof of existence does exist, that an agency does exist, then what is the agency's name? These are just simple, logical questions that lead to an answer, which they couldn't rebut. You guys said I was operating an agency. Well, I haven't been paid for it. Matter of fact, I need some details on this. Who is going around telling somebody and making people believe that I am their agent? Because that's fraud. Because, see, one cannot be an agent. One cannot unknowingly be an agent. See?
I think everybody wants to know what you did so they can do it.
Well, I brought a declaratory judgment to figure out what the hell the instrument was first, the birth certificate. What is it? What is my rights and duties to it? You know, and that's why you have a declaratory judgment, which true is under Roman civil law. You know, even the Bible, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a quote-unquote Roman, or should I say a woman.
You have a declaratory judgment?
Huh?
Do you have a declaratory judgment?
Yeah.
Well, can we read that somewhere?
I put it out there for some people have it.
You want to send it to me so I can see it?
Like I said, it's out there somewhere.
Oh, that's so
About 2 months ago, I took all my stuff, all my papers, and boxes and boxes of shit that I've been dealing with for the last 7-8 years talking about this shit, listening to everybody else's opinions and everything. And I just, you know, like I said, I'm done. as far as getting more than I ever had. But I don't think I'll stop there. But I took all my stuff, and I put all my papers in boxes, and they're in the closet. I wiped out all my footwear. I'm done. It's over with. Done. You know, I pretty much got what I wanted, which was released from the system and not have to deal with that stuff. Plus, I got a little bit to boot. But it was all based on me playing, playing the game smarter than they did when I was going to court. That was my whole defense. That's how I got the judge to say that I was operating a state agency. When I used my whole defense was, I don't operate a state agency. Then we go through the whole trial, and the judge at the end says, well, the court finds you were operating a state agency.
But how did he arrive at that?
I don't care how he arrives at it.
Were you operating a state agency? What was the state agency?
I would say it's the birth certificate.
Okay.
See, it's an entity. That's what I'm saying. If you don't understand agents and agencies, if you don't understand that entity, the state of Ohio can't do a goddamn thing. The state of Texas, the state of California cannot do a damn thing. You understand that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then everything else is elementary.
Well, for the listeners, though, and I mean, we've got new people coming all the time and old people. I have to ask questions to make it more interesting for people.
Well, if you're having a problem with an agency, the person to call and talk to is the agency head. Why do I want to sit there and talk to a bunch of fry hoppers and burger makers when I can go straight to the boss?
Right.
And that's why a lot of people are saying they get frustrated because they're talking to some idiot behind a desk that is nothing more than the fry boy or the burger maker. Why do I want to go talk to cashier after cashier after servant after servant when I go straight to the agency head, the head manager, and get it settled there? Now, if the head manager don't want to do it, then that's when we talk about legal action. But when I call up my servants, the head agent of that agency, which is called the registered agent, right? See, even government agencies, whether it's the Department of Health, whether it's the Department of Transportation, the Department of Transportation is the United States entity that has an office there in your state. And it has what's called an agency head, which is the registered agent. You always must notify the registered agent, the agency head, to give them an opportunity to fix and remedy your call, your claim. And if they don't do it, then you can move on. But generally speaking, anytime you have a problem, if you have a problem with one of the police officers, you don't argue with the civil police officer to call up to the agency head. You call to the state and say, hey, I want to know who the registered agent for the police department of San Antonio is. I want to know who the registered agent is. Because all entities gotta have a registered agent. And if they ain't got a registered agent, they don't exist legally. They are not allowed to sue or maintain a suit. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just looking in my files here, and I have all your stuff. You sent me all of this. A Trial of Jesus, Police Perspective, KW Unrepresentative Private.
In the Bible, it was always the prophets or the Lord's people going and representing God's will. When you look at the ancient Egyptians and when you look at the hieroglyphs, things going on, that's the same thing that's going on. When they're holding up them sticks to each other, it's the entity, the dead persons. And by the way, like I said, hieroglyphics, or should I say air, are you an heir? Because the probate court is the only court that has the power to determine whether or not one is an heir. And since aeroglyphs or hieroglyphs are God's word, that means heir means God. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you an heir?
Yes.
Well, where is the word that proves it? Where is the will that proves it?
In my heart.
Your heart is your will. See, the Bible says, he who takes this and engrafts this on their heart. How are you supposed to engraft the word of God on your heart? Well, see, heart is an old German or a Norse term that comes from Latin, which actually means will. See, he has a lot of heart, though. He has a lot of will. But you ain't got enough heart to come over here and punch me in the head. Well, yeah, I do have enough will. Well, see, it's the same thing. You're being confused by the words, and a lot of times, a lot of people don't go through the word research, because if you did as much research as I've done, you're going to understand that whether you're talking in Latin, German, French, American, whatever it is you're talking in, is that the root word is always going to be the same. They just change the shape of the letters. And, you get confused and you pronounce it differently, see. And you think it's a whole different word, and it's not. Well, I'll take one more question, then I got a boogie.
Okay, let's see here. ALM. Oh, ALM, you've been unmuted. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Can't hear you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How are you?
Okay, and I will always ask how your son's doing.
Oh, thank you. He's doing good. He was yelling at me through the door here, telling me my food was out there. I never know if you guys can hear him. But anyway, did you have a question for our speaker?
Yes. How you doing, sir? KW?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm fine, as far as I know. I wanted to ask
speak up into that mic.
Okay. Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
I would like to ask KW, about your research and where did you get your data from for this particular information that you're giving to us. Because, it seems like you're speaking about scripture, and you're basing mainly all this that you're basing this is on scripture. It seems to me.
No, it's all the same. The what you call law, whether you call it statute, whether you call it common law, whether we call it Bible or whatever you call it, it's all the same. It's all the same everywhere. Everything's the same. Whether you're talking about biological terms in the way. Proteins and folding. That's another thing, you know. Why is biotech companies examining the folds of proteins by DNA sequence and then linking it up with NASA to the radio telescopes spinning out and out in space? What the hell's going on there? What does that have to do? Why does biotechnology have to? Well, it's because it's all the same.
I think it's a more advanced knowledge when you speak in those terms, because then you'll lose people, because you're not speaking in normal language. For instance, if I told you that the Romans are still here, that they're still ruling over the world, could you believe that?
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt about that, there are a certain group of people. Have you ever heard of the Order of the Bath?
Not the Order of the Pot? No, I'm not talking about a certain group of people. I'm talking about the group. I'm talking about the oldest empire in history. Over 1,500 years, longer than any empire, the Roman Empire ruled. And I'm saying I'm saying the Roman Empire ruled longer on record. At least far as the records can show us that the Roman Empire has ruled and continues. Well, they continue to rule, but they rule according to record for 1,500 years or better, and no empire has ruled longer. And I'm saying they are still ruling through the Pope. Did you believe
that? Yes.
Since the Roman Empire is still ruling and they did all the evil that they're doing, why would you quote the Bible that they gave you?
Because it's a hint on how things work and what's going on. See, not only is the Pope considered the vicar of Christ, but he's also considered Caesar. And see, this is the two sides of a coin. If you look at some of the old coins, you'll see that on the coins, that on one side of the coin, there was Caesar. On the other side of the coin, there was Christ, because it's a two-faced instrument. There's a front and a back. It could be whatever you want. See, you're writing your own story.
Well, he said, render unto Caesar that which is to Caesar, and render unto God that which is God. So there's no comparison. When he told us that, you know, you get lost when you're talking about God, because you could get lost. You won't get lost if you have a heart to understand what Jesus said.
Well, the Bible that I read says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, the Word is God. Because nothing comes into existence. There is no Colosseum built. There is no high skyscraper built. There are no schools. There is no government. There is no law. There is nothing without the will and the Word. You understand that? Nothing exists without the will of the Word.
I understand. But all I'm saying, I'm trying to make a point, and for the people who are on the call to understand this, that all this jobberish that people's putting out there, all this sovereignty that we have acquired over the last 10, 15, 20 years, some of us 30, 40 years, so let's have respect for them who have come and gone. We see now that when it's all said and done, the Pope hooks up with the other people. By the way, you read the Bible a lot, obviously. Can you tell me who you think the beast is, and what one particular beast, anyway, in the Bible? Do you know who the Bible say the beast is? Can you tell?
I'll tell you who the Antichrist is, and I'll tell you who the beast is.
No,
right?
No, I'm saying, can you tell me who the Bible say the beast is?
Yeah, it depends on if you read it or whether you hear it. See, because there's only one Antichrist.
No. I'm saying, I'm not trying to overstep you or anything. I respect you. I heard you speak in the past, and let me tell you something. I got respect for you, and I'm not gonna argue with you, because this is yours. You're here as a guest, and I respect you. I'm asking a question to get knowledge and wisdom. Have you? Because I know you've done a lot of studying. Did you see in the Bible? If you don't know, I'll tell you. Well, one of the places. It's more than one place. I'm gonna give you a good place where it's at, and who the Bible says the beast is, and I'm gonna tell you. But I want to see if you know. I'll share it with you, bro. No problem.
All right. Well, when I read the Bible, it tells me that the sons of Aaron are the Antichrist. The beast is the legal system.
Does the Bible say that? Does it say that the sons of Aaron are the Antichrist?
Well, it sure does. It doesn't say the sons of Aaron are the Antichrist, but what it does say is when the sons of Aaron were given control of the temple, that they were not allowed to inherit the land, that the offerings made in the temple were their share, and the other tribe got to inherit the land. The sons of Aaron are not allowed to inherit the land. Well, who were the sons of Aaron? Well, they were the attorneys in the temple.
Okay.
And
well,
see, that's why you have to, that's who the Antichrist is, because that's what Christ means, is anointed or the heir. Okay.
I understand, KW, but what I'm saying is this is very important. I see the people on the chat bashing, and a lot of them are bashing, and they had adverse opinions. I don't have adverse opinion, because you have to speak what you feel in your heart. But if I told you to go to Revelation 13, verse 18, and look and see what the Bible says, who the Bible says the beast is, maybe that would help. Are you familiar with that particular chapter, that particular verse of
sure.
the Bible?
Sure. Yeah.
What does it say?
So you come out to 13 what now?
13, verse 18, Revelation.
Is that right before or right after the mark, name, and number?
No, Revelation is the last book of
the
Bible.
Play and read it.
No, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell you who the beast is, who it said the beast is. It says the sign of the beast is, it says the sign of the beast is a man. It tells you 666. It says there's a lot of things in there about that man. But this particular, it's more than one man, though. But the sign of the beast is a man. It's real important for you to know that, and for me, and for Angela, and everyone who's called to know that. Because if you don't know that the beast is a man, then you'd be low. Because that's truly who it is, among other people. The beast that's supposed to be shooting fire down and scarring people with lightning and all that, hitting people with fire, that's a man up there in the damn plane, forgive my expression. But that's, that's a beast up in that plane, but that's a man.
Well,
but what I'm saying, back to Revelation, it says in Revelation 18, chapter 13, 18, that they give it to you. They say that the sign of the beast, here's the beast. They tell you he's a man. So we have to look at each other, at ourselves, and be careful how we display to people. And it's really black. Black and white. It's easy. It's night and day. It's male and female. It's good and bad. And say, glory be to God who created all things in paths. Because we can appreciate good if we didn't know bad. Right? Right? Right, K. Dunn?
Very good.
No,
okay.
That's what I'm saying, but some people are incompetent, you know.
Okay. I want to hear you. I'm sorry for allowing hold up the show. I just wanted to hear, because I'm hearing, I was reading the chat, and I said, well, maybe if the brother came and if you expressed to the audience something that they can identify with, they would be more accepting, because they're not seem to be accepting what you're saying, what you're actually trying to help. You're not doing anything to hurt anyone. But when you talk about the Romans, it always touched me because I do a lot of research on them. I've done a lot of research on them.
Well, and you know, go on Wikipedia and look at ranks of the Roman army. All right. And you're going to notice a lot of interesting terms being used. And as a matter of fact, you might find terms that are used to describe a lot of people that you know. Because, see, some people are in that, quote-unquote, Roman army. No. And they carry their titles to it.
Okay.
But
what
we
want to
be is we want to be, like, we want to be the immune ones. See, there's a lot of interesting things goes on, like cancer. You know, look at cancer. What the hell is a T cell? Why is a T virus in that movie Resident Evil? And what is a T cell? Well, a T cell is called a helper cell. But sometimes the T cells, which are supposed to give the other cells notice that there's a bacteria or a virus in the system so that they don't have contact with it and don't let it in, kind of a security measure. Well, they say that some of the T cells actually get their alphabets mixed up. And see, that's what people do. They get their alphabets mixed up because they don't really know Latin or German or the sounds that some of these words make. And so when we read the Bible, the Bible does not say faith cometh by reading the Bible. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Close your eyes and listen to what is being said. Get rid of your Sunday school pre-notions or images of what they taught you when you was a child, and listen to what is being said. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Well, sticks and stones, well, that's what they used to make complaints out of because they didn't have, they didn't know the Bic. And Sharpie wasn't invented along with the papyrus yet. So they sticks and stones break my bones. But words will never hurt me. Sticks and stones means that's a complaint. You've been plagued. That's what a plague is. If somebody serves a process on you, you were just plagued. See? And these are, and anytime you hear the word stone, think paper. And anytime you hear the word staff, think pencil. Matter of fact, type in and look at all the paintings and listen to what I'm telling you. Anytime you see, read the book of Psalms. Read the book of Psalms because it's from the palm tree because the power is in your right hand. Read the book of Psalms or Palms, and everywhere you see the word Lord, insert the word will. And everywhere you see the word God, insert the word Father. Because you're supposed to honor your father and mother and do the will of your father. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, who are my brothers and sisters? Who is my family? Well, those who does my father's will. Now, if you're doing your will and you turn your will in, well, don't be mad. Don't be mad when you get judged on that final judgment day when your estate gets sunk and your estate is closed out.
Here's the thing, K.W., I'm not saying that any one particular faith is wrong. Any one faith to be
correct. No, I think they're all right.
Whatever he or she wants to do, I think they will get rewarded according to that intention. That's most important. We have to know that. But when it comes to the jobberies that's going on with the legal system, something that man has made up, it's another beast. There's a lot of them. It's more than one beast here. Okay? They support each other. They do. And I'm not going to point no single individual. But I'm going to point to a man. You can figure it out. But when it's all said and done, we live and we die. We're here now, and today we'll be dead. And it says, well, if you go about, Jesus said, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Look, I don't know what verse it is.
Exactly. I
can't remember what verse it is, but in the Bible it says the will and testament is the highest law there is. But it only takes effect after you die.
But it says you will not will unless you put your will in, with God's will. You have to will with him. Otherwise, will toward that which is right. Will yourself toward righteousness. And you'll be okay. Be you a man, woman,
that's where you just simply, you take a Bible, you turn it to the back page, and you write in there, I put my full faith and trust in the will of my Father, and sign your name. What did I just do?
In your actions. It says Jesus told us that he said, when I'm not here, he told people, and this is scripture you probably never read, because they Romans hear it, but they discovered it here recently. Where Jesus had said, when I am not here, he says, follow my brother James. What James said in the chapter James of the Bible, he says that faith is no good without work.
Right.
So you need
without
work. Your work will build your faith.
Look, once I turn over everything and put it in trust of my God, the court cannot touch me. You get it?
I get it. But they can't physically, at least in this world, because
they can't do anything.
They,
you know, look at the story of Antipas of Pergamon. All right, look at his story. Go read his story and look what you know. Listen to what's being said. Don't read it and think you know what's being said, but listen and hear yourself speak when you say it, and listen to the words that you're saying. Things are going to start making a whole different sense. You know why? You know, it's all connected together. It truly is. You know, who are the Illuminati? I know who the fucking Illuminati are. I know what they are. I know what everything means. The G in the middle means inner. It's the inner G. The compass and the square represents that corner of space where they use light and shadows to cross frames. See, you know, they are, I believe, involved in what some might call time travel. Yeah, I thought
but the bottom line, these are men, right, KW?
Well, I would say very extremely, I would say they're greater than the average man.
But they're men, and there's a particular man, men, there's a particular men that's who are riding around, and I'm not talking about ISIS, because ISIS is doing their own thing. That's another group. But we got other groups that's riding around destroying other men, parts of mankind, destroying the world, starting wars. That's very powerful, but they're men and they're women. They're people. They're human beings. And they're just really our beasts because they got to be beasts to kill like they kill. They must be beasts. They're worse than lions. They're worse than any other animal. They're beasts, these creatures, because they're going around killing whatever they can kill. So when it all said and done, they're working with the gun. They have the ammunition. And I can be talking about Russia or I can be talking about China. But it's more than them. These guys don't put on particular people. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the Bar Association, this is another form of a beast. That's a big old beast.
When we look at the Bible, and, you know, when we talk about the Book of Revelation and the seven messages, seven churches, there's some strange things going on that, you know, I don't want to get into, but I will get into one specific part where it talks about where John of Patmos was whisked away in the spirit into the heavens before the throne of God. Well, he was in court. Get it? And he saw he sat on the throne. It's he who sits upon the throne, and he held up a scroll with seven seals. Do you know what the scroll with seven seals is? I'll tell you what it is. It's the will of God, because that's what it says. And they asked who was worthy to open up the scroll, and they looked in all the heaven and all the earth, because the heaven and the earth is the fiction. The wilderness is the reality. When they looked all in heaven and all in earth, and none was found worthy, save the Son of Man. Right? And when he came, nobody knew his name. But he came in the title of the Word of God. See, when the book of Revelations goes down, and it's probably going to come down here shortly, see, it's a court hearing. When the angel comes up from the east and he approaches the altar of incense, he's approaching, it's the attorney, approaches the altar, and he's making his case, and he burned much good incense. Why? Because there was 144,000 heirs who are making claim against for the administration of the will of God. For instance, if I'm a beneficiary of a will, and the administrator or the trustees of that will and property are not administrating that property for my benefit, are they in breach of fiduciary duty? And if they are, can I maintain a court proceeding to uphold the will of my father, the will of God? Yes, I can. You see?
Okay.
And I'll take one more question, and then I got to go.
That's it. Well, someone here, let me see, Nemesis asked if you got your white stone.
Yep.
Okay. I guess that's it then. We'll call it a night. Let me see. Hold on one second. There, Alim, did you want to close out with anything else?
I am. Or was there anything else? No, I just wanted to input into his conversation because I see where he's going, but he's talking. I realized something. I apologize too for going into almost another topic because he's talking about something.
Plus, you talk over the guest speaker, and that's not nice.
That's not nice at all. And I was just trying to make a point. And
it's all good, brother. It's all good.
Yeah.
All good. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ken. I hope we can have you on again.
Hey, research, deposit research. Of will. Understand that the will is the highest law there is. Not trust law. No.
Deposit of will?
Yep. Go to your probate court website and check it out. They got instructions how to deposit will and pay very close attention to what's being said there because, see, as soon as you deposit your will, it gets sealed up and it's not available to public view.
Mm-hmm.
The next weird thing you're going to notice is that as soon as you pay the fee, is that the clerk returns the certificate of deposit to you along with the receipt. Well, that sounds like if they're going to return something to me, that means they must have had it. Well, when we talk about a certificate of deposit, we can just certainly say that the birth certificate is a copy of an instrument which represents a certificate of deposit. But
yeah,
another thing is they also change something in the computer. They also say in there that they change something in the computer. The clerk shall assign the will a number and enter it into the computer. See, now when they do that, see, we think of these people as machines, and they act like machines, robots. Well, maybe they are, and we just need to give them the command, the will, because that's what the common law is. The common law is the will of the people issued forth from the life of the people. Look it up, Department of Justice, United States website. Check it out.
I will, and I'm going to read over all your documents again. I must have read, I'm sure I read them when you first sent them to me, but I forgot.
Well, when I
read them all up again.
Well, this is just some things that's been made known to me because I've had an opportunity to talk to a few very interesting people as a result of one of the things I've done, and they pointed me in the directions that I'm going now, and my eyes have been opened up to a lot of stuff. But I know why the pyramids are, why they are, why they're shaped the way they are, why they have the thing in it, and why there's no hieroglyphs in it.
And why there's no what in it?
Well, they say there's no tomb, but there's that big empty box in there. They call it a sarcophagus or whatever. It's the Ark of the Covenant because that's where the will was kept. See, when the Ark of the Covenant kept the Ten Commandments of God, no, it kept the will of God, see? because that's what God's commandments are, is his will. Get it?
Got it.
Well, as long as you're following God's will and you have the Ark of the Covenant, which is where your will is, that's where you get the Israelites taking the Ark of the Covenant before them. It was in always in court battles. It wasn't like you think it was. Matter of fact, I would beg to differ that there was an Egypt 2,000, 4,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, the way I'm seeing everything, there's no way that all that stuff is true.
All what stuff?
But it's all metaphorical.
What stuff?
The Bible, history.
Oh, okay.
Everything you thought you knew.
Well, we've been taught wrong. We've been, you know, deceived, duped,
well,
whatever.
You know, you got the seven stars in your hand, you know, and you speak with the two-edged sword coming out of your mouth, and you walk in the midst of the seven candlesticks. That's what you want. That's when you can go in there in court, and you can burn your candles all night long. Why? Because you put your homework in. Now, when you go in there to court, they're going to light your candles, and they're going to see how much oil, how much knowledge you have. Maybe so that's the story of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. The five wise virgins filled up their lamps with oil. They filled up their heads with knowledge. The five foolish virgins, well, they was just there to have a good time, and they didn't fill up their lamps. So they didn't get to go to the bride and the wedding feast. So when you go in there to court to do what you got to do, the judge is going to light your candlesticks, and he's going to see how long you're burning. As a matter of fact, it's his job to keep the candle and the oil burning as long as he can to prove that you're worthy. And if you can't let your light shine all night long, you're not going to get it. You're not worthy. If you didn't do your homework, if you didn't pull your head out of your ass, if you didn't turn off the wrestling, turn off the video games, and sit there and stick your nose into the books and read about law and psychology and theosophy and understand what the hell this world is about, you're not worthy, and you're not going to be able to walk through that straight, narrow gate, period.
Very good. Very good. I think we should leave it on that note.
All right.
What do you think? Go on.
No. All I got to say is praise the Lord. Good night.
Well, thank you so much, Ken, and we'll do it again, I'm sure, hopefully not a year from now, but just to update us every so often, teach us what you share with us, what you've learned, point us in the directions of study. That's always good. I appreciate it. So thank you kindly. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for coming. It's been fun. We'll see you again next Thursday, and take care of each other, love each other. I love y'all. Okay, bye.